The BBC presents My Music, a radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you very much. Yes, My Music and the assembled company Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden in competition against John Amis and Frank Muir. I said the assembled company, and it so happens that this first round concerns company or companies. Ian Wallace, which theatrical company announced its policy like this?
Playgoers, I bid you welcome. The theatre is a temple, and we are here to worship the gods of comedy and tragedy.
Something familiar, something peculiar, something for everyone, a comedy tonight.
And so on. Dear man.
That was the rather elaborate prototype of Up Pompeii.
Yes, it was.
A show called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
That's right. And in the London production there was...
Francis.
Yes, Francis himself, Frankie Howard, yes. One mark. Dennis Norden, this is a different kind of company. Who's the singer?
No. It's any one of those.
It's the Hummer, really,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes. Sort of sub-Crosbys. It could have been Dick Todd, Dick Hames, Johnny Desmond. I don't know. Honestly. it's very difficult.
I must tell you, then, Victor Mone. Victor Mone it was, no marks. John, this is Pastime with Good Company. John Amis, who composed that song?
I think I should need advice of that, notice of that question.
Well, there was a time when if you hadn't known, you'd have had no future.
Company.
You'd have ended up in the Tower.
Well, I mean, it's what Thomas Hardy would call playing the ancient stave.
Yes.
Certainly.
Yes.
Is it a royal composer?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who else?
I'm Henry the Eighth.
Wrong program. Yes, I had to help you. I think a half mark is enough for there. Henry the Eighth wrote that Pastime with Good Company. Frank, here's some jolly good company. Who are the duettists?
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good pals and jolly good company.
Universal Man was Claude Halbert.
That's right. And
so the world was Jack.
Yes, the brothers Halbert, Jack and Claude Halbert, one mark. And on to the next round. Some Italian terms used in music and their meanings, mostly to do with ornaments and grace notes, things like that. Ian, what is an acciaccatura?
It's a funny little note. That is written, from a singer's point of view, it's a sort of challenge, because this funny little note is written just in front of the note that you are going to sing, with the idea that you will get that one in just before you sing the note that's written big. I hope I'm expressing myself very clearly. The word in Italian means crushed in. In other words, you've got to get it in very, very quickly.
In other words, the note with an acciaccatura would be
like that.
As in the phrase, sono contento acciaccatura, I'm all right, Jack.
was John contributing there. Dennis, Ian, you've got 2 marks. Dennis, what would you describe as an inverted turn?
I don't know. Musically, I should think playing the trombone in a telephone box require a bit of an inverted turn at the end of it. Yes. I haven't the faintest idea. I still don't understand what a chacatura was.
My intention to give you 2 marks. Do you happen to know?
Yeah. A turn, I'm not very good on this. These sort of extra little bits I'm not very good about. I just think
you're a plain note man yourself.
I mean, opera singers are the sort of rough soldiery of the music profession. But I would say that a turn was sort of something when la di da dum tum, and presumably an inverted turn is.
Well, I think I can do better for once on my instrument here. Instead of a turn would be... And an inverted turn would be...
That's exactly what I meant. Yes.
Well, it's exactly what you're saying.
And 2 marks to Dennis.
2 marks to Dennis, yes. John, how does an appoggiatura differ from an acciaccatura?
Oh, yes. I once knew a professor of music who had some sweet peas and he wanted to keep everybody out of his garden and he put on the gate, "Beware of the appoggiatura." But I suppose if you were appoggiated on the gate, you'd be leaning on the gate.
Yes.
Because the appoggiatura is leaning, whereas the achack is achacking it.
Yes, that's true enough, without giving anybody really the foggiest idea of what it would sound like. You're no fool, are you? Can you, shall I demonstrate, or can you demonstrate verbally, vocally?
Was it last week, Merry England, Dan Cupid Heather Garden?
Yes.
When all the sunshine and the showers... That's yes. A written out...
Instead of showers, it would be showers... Yes. An appoggiatura takes half the time value of the note it precedes, if you want to be precise about it. 2 marks, though. Frank?
I don't even bother to ask.
No, this is all right. This is... What happens is this, Frank. When I'm reading a piece of music, I occasionally come across the letters F-I-N-E in the middle of a piece. And I wonder what they mean when they're printed at that point.
It means that what's coming is such a swine that it's best to take a swift glass of vintage cognac...
Fine. A glass of fine hine.
Oh,
can I come on for another bit?
Dry sherry.
Hang on, Steve.
Yes, I'll hang about.
Coming through.
They go on to the middle eight, and then you go back to the beginning, and then when you come to the end, everybody says fine, so you go home.
Yes, and it will get you 2 marks, Frank, if you can understand what he's saying.
Well, you get on there. You go back to the front.
Your partner provided that. I'll just put it into words for the benefit of anybody who really does want to know. The Italian word fine indicates end here, having repeated either from the top of the piece, da capo al fine, or from the sign, dal segno al fine. So having gone through the second time, that's where you end, is really what it means. And woe betide those many musicians in military bands and so on who go beyond the fine and go pumping on with the piece when all the rest have stopped. 2 marks. It's perfectly possible to identify music from very slight evidence, a mere chord, a word, a trill, or in the case of my piano playing, a fumble. Here, then, is some quick identification, very quick identification for you. Ian, what can you tell me about this? And listen carefully. Don't gulp or you'll miss it altogether. Would you like it again, or can you manage?
I was pretty, wasn't it? Let's have it again.
Yes, let's have it again, please. Once more for Ian. Thank you.
Yes, just something of... Papageno about this.
Yes.
Sort of bird catcher.
Yes.
Tiddly-diddlem.
Yes, that's right.
So it's from the Magic Flute.
Yes, it's
by
it?
Mozart.
Yes, from the very start of the opera. It's this piccolo notes.
Oh, it's from the very start?
One mark, yes. Dennis, this is from the very end of something I'm sure you'll know. The title, please, of the song and the artist.
Your verbal experiments really are obnoxious.
Oh, your pedal extremities really are obnoxious. He wrote it as well, I believe.
I don't know. Did he?
He says your feet's too big.
Yes, right. And
don't like you because your feet's too big. Actually, he was Fats Waller.
Yes.
And then it occurred to me the other day, I saw him many, many years ago at the Kilburn Empire in London, and I remember something which must have been the first use of the phrase, of a phrase which is getting repulsively common now. He was a fat man, obviously, and as he sat down very delicately on the piano stool, he sort of wriggled and he said, "Have we got it all together, Fats?"
It's taken a long time for that expression to get here.
Getting it together, yeah.
Yes. I knew somebody once who was in Fats Waller's hotel room in London when the phone rang, and Fats Waller apparently picked up the phone and said, "You paid your nickel, now talk." A mark to Dennis. John Amos, which piano piece lulls the audience like this and then finally shatters them? Any idea?
I think it is one of our Norwegian pieces by Edvard Grieg.
Yes, it is.
But I can't think for the life of me which slot or slatter it is.
Well, it's a day. Pick a day. Yes, that's right.
The wedding day at Trollhagen.
Yes, that's right, from Lyric Pieces by Grieg. One mark to you. Frank, what begins like this?
Almost everything.
Yes.
Is it something...
Especially if you drop it.
Yeah, is it something eastern?
No. Only in relation to the eastern part of England. No, even that's the western part of England. No.
But the Cornish floral dance?
No. No, I'm afraid I must deny you a mark and play you what immediately follows. The Beatles' Hard Day's Night. Leading at the moment by half a mark, Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace. We come now to a rich, fine voice, a veritable Dennis Norden among opera singers. These are vintage recordings, so you might like to make a little allowance for them, though no excuse is required for the voice itself. It's a lovely voice.
You don't make any allowance for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're not pre-electric like some of these recordings, you see. Or are you, perhaps?
You're doing your best to make me.
Ian, listen to this, an excerpt from French opera, and then see if you can tell me why it should remind me of the engagement present that Elgar gave his fiancée. Any idea?
Well, I know what it is.
What is it called?
It's Gounod's
Yes,
first.
That's right.
So,
Salut
d'amour.
Yes. Now, why should that remind me of the engagement present Elgar gave his fiancée?
Elgar wrote a piece called Salut d'amour.
Yes, it went. And he wrote it as an engagement present for his fiancée, who became Lady Elgar.
Ah,
yes, and a nicer engagement present that was never given, I think.
I thought it was about the perfume he got from Savory and Moore.
Salut d'amour and salut d'amour, yes.
A friend of mine saw a performance of Faust once in Cork, and at the end, Mephistopheles has to go down into the depths, and he has a trap door, and he pushed it a bit, and he wouldn't go more than about 15 inches. And a voice from the god said, "Glory be to God, hell's full."
Oh, dear. It's a prize story. Yes. And for Dennis Norden, a prize-winning song.
Im rosigen Schein.
Dennis, what prize did that win?
Horse of the Year. Eurovision Song Contest.
Well, that's what I thought you'd say in the first place, actually. I thought you might say the Eurovision Song Contest.
I don't know.
No, something...
Well, it's the prize for the master singer.
Yes.
Or the Meister singer.
I wonder if you know what prize it won, though, Ian. Do you?
The book token.
Says, right. It won two prizes, actually, a laurel wreath and the golden chain of the Master Singers Guild. Well, one out of two to your side. You didn't actually know what prize it won.
No, I didn't, did we?
No.
May I ask who it was singing?
Well, it's coming at the end, actually. Oh, I will sort that out, because he's singing a couple more bits now. John, for you, though, a little more of his singing. John, the composer of that, came second in the opera competition that produced Cavalleria Rusticana. 9 years later, he wrote that music we just heard for the first opera in which a bicycle was brought onto the stage. What was it called?
The aria is called Amor ti vieta. Yes, and right. I think it's by Cilea.
No.
Cilea, no. Giordano.
Giordano, yes. Umberto Giordano. And the opera's title, which is how you get your 2 marks...
Adriana Lecouvreur. No? I've got 2 singing friends in the audience. Why aren't they helping me?
Why doesn't one of them tell you, then, for your other mark? Anybody know?
Hercules.
Name of the opera? It was premiered in 1898. The opera was called Fedora.
Ah.
Fedora. So, 1 mark, I think, out of 2 would be enough there.
I hadn't got my Fedora hat on.
Frank, the same singer, this time, truth to tell, somewhat sharp, as you'll hear. But while he's singing, see if you and perhaps your neighbour can come up with 3 titles for this song.
My neighbour isn't here.
Your neighbour on the stage, I should have to say.
I've got a corner house.
Yeah. Titles using one language or another.
Language one, Song of India.
Yes, that's one.
Language number 2, Chanson d'Inde.
Oh, well.
By Rimsky-Korsakov.
Yes, it's not known as Dand, I'm afraid, is it, really?
Well, whatever.
Andu.
Now, in Russian, it's called Nosmensko Dasanyo.
No, not Ning.
Oh, foolish. That vowel is so tricky.
Yes, it's an Indian song.
Yeah,
with an Indian accent.
I had down Song of India, Song of the Indian Guest, which is what it says on that record label, Chanson Andu. Will, how many marks out of 2?
3.
Do you think 1.5? 1.5 it is, yes. Did any of you recognise the singer? Do you, John?
No.
You in? Richard Crooks.
Ah, yes.
On to the next round. Sometimes the words of songs mention a real person, somebody actually living at the time. So let's see if you can give me the line of the song that mentions, Ian Wallace, in your case, Cole Porter.
Ah. Yes. That's it's an Enel Coward song.
Yes, that's right.
Nina from Argentina.
Yes.
She
refused to begin the begin, although they besought her to. And in language profane and obscene, she cursed the man who taught her to. She even cursed Cole Porter too.
She cursed Cole Porter too.
And that's the first time it's ever been done as a spoken duet.
One mark to you and your fellow grenadier. Dennis, a song that actually mentions Dorothy Parker, please. And again, it's a verse.
Is this a Cole Porter one as well?
Yes.
Yes. It's the verse. Wait a minute. It's the verse of just one of those things where it says,
that's right,
"It was swell, Isabel,
that's,
swell."
That's the one.
As Dorothy Parker once said, when bidding her boyfriend farewell.
Yeah, as Dorothy Parker once said to her boyfriend, "Fare thee well."
Fare thee well.
And
yes,
then it goes on. Yes, that's a mark to you, John Amos. A mention in song for George Gershwin. I've got a couple down here. You take your choice, actually.
Schubert wrote a symphony. Too bad he didn't finish it. Gershwin wrote a chord in G. Proceeded to diminish
yes,
it.
Yes, all ridiculous musical claims. Yes, sorry. Yes, from Tenement. Symphony in four flats. That's right. And there's also a reference in the verse of Gershwin's own by Strauss. The line, "And Gershwin keeps pounding on tin," mocking himself in his own song. Mark to you, and Frank, a mention in song for Lord Rosebery.
Oh, almost everyone knows me, from Smith to Lord Rosebery. I'm Burlington Betty from Bell.
That's right, yes. I love Frank with all his 18th century studies, and he's put Swift in instead of Smith. It just slipped out. And the mark. As this edition of My Music ends, we come to the singing round. Ian saved till last, as usual. So, Dennis, the requirements of the gentleman in the annex made a song for Miss Dietrich. Can you give me a line or two, please, for 2 marks?
You're not going to do a snide remark this week?
No, I haven't. I've run out.
I miss it.
I'm beginning to get through.
See what the boys in the back room will have. And tell them I tried. Yeah. And tell them I cried.
Not bad, is it? Not bad, no. You didn't finish it, but bad. Worth 2 marks, I think, in any language. Yeah. John, choose your own key, as Dennis did. All right. And
don't
give us
the same one, because I'm trying to copyright that one.
Boy, was he glad to get rid of it, yes. Choose your own key and give us the song of the morning that Melba recorded one morning in 1910. Song of the morning.
Ven amore bien aimé, o qua me disespere, près de ta porte fermée, je veux encore demeurer. It's a tenor song.
Yeah, well, you're a tenor. You're a tenor. You're a tenor yourself.
I thought you said Melba.
No, but Melba sang it. She recorded it.
Mm. Cheek.
Yes, yeah. The record. Melba's record is still available, I have to tell you, as well. It was, in fact, the Obard from
Le Roi Dix by
Lalo. Mm. Or Olal, as it says on the outside of his office door. Frank, what did you imagine you saw creeping up on you? It would be nice to hear you render this.
I thought creeping up on me. I did. I saw a pudding tan. Plain as...
No inhibitions.
Plain could be.
At the time that record was popular, I had a friend who ran a record shop, and he, as soon as this record came out, he thought, that's going to be a winner, and he bought in dozens and dozens and dozens of copies. And to his horror, absolutely nobody bought it. A lot of people walked in the shop and sort of turned a bit pink and walked out again, until the people selling the record sent him a card which said, I tore, put it at. And he put it on the front of his counter, and all sorts of men came in and said, have you got a copy of that? And pointed to the sign, and he handed them their copy of I tore, put it at. A mark to Frank. Ian, I have in mind a thing, an object. My dictionary defines it as being more or less cylindrical, with a peak or upright plume or tuft. And according to the song, it's an old one. Can you sing this, please, from your repertoire of ballads?
I mind the day, me old shako, when first you graced my head. What time I wore a sabre tash, me spurs and jacket of red. I mind a dainty little lass whose cheeks were all aglow. Then first she took a kiss from me beneath me old shako. When first she took a kiss from me beneath me old shako. Hey ho, many a year ago we rode along together, you and I, me old shako. Faith, we turned the hearts of us, the pretty girls we used to know. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
My boy.
Well, my old shako, very old hat. Well, that's the end of our programme, I'm afraid. The end of this edition of My Music. A victory by one mark for Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace.
Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shrine.
You've been listening to My Music from the BBC, heard each week at this time. This is the WFMT Fine Arts Network.